Our opening hymn is found in your Methodist hymnal, page 454, Open My Eyes That I May See. Please stand as we sing together.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Would you join me in the call to worship? Praise the Lord, O servants of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time on and forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time on and forevermore.
And if you'd turn in your hymnal to page 881 and join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing books to page 2175. Together we serve.
Together we serve, united by love, inviting God's world to the glorious feast. We work and we pray, sorrow and joy, extending our love to the last and the least. We seek to become a beacon of hope, a lamp for the heart and a light for the feet. We learn person we meet. We welcome the scarred, the wealthy, the poor, the busy, the lonely, and all who need care. We offer a home to those who will come, our hands quick to help, our hearts ready to dare. Together by grace we witness and work, remembering Jesus in whom we grow strong. Together we serve in spirit and truth, remembering love is the strength of our souls.
You may be seated.
Would you join me in the prayer of confession? Gracious God, you know our sin. We have squandered the gifts you have given us. We have failed to forgive our debtors as you have forgiven us. We have been unfaithful and dishonest in small things and great things alike. Forgive our sins, O Lord, for your name's sake. Amen. Our loving God desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hear the good news. Jesus is Christ, and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for this time on the mountain. It's a beautiful time of the year. And thank you for everything you do for us. And bless these gifts as we return a portion to you. Thank you.
They didn't announce children's moment, but we know what that is. Are there any more kids in the out here? All right. We're going to have some adults help us. We need everybody to take a bag. Y'all take a bag. Need some help. We need all the bags passed out. And I'm looking for, look in your bag, and I'm looking for a ball that says unique on it. This woman right here, she's back in church. Come on. Okay. Well, come on, you want to come up? We got more. Well, here, give her one of these. We need to find a ball with the word unique on it. You know what that word means? Does anybody have a word with unique on it? You have a word with unique? How about you? Do you have a word with unique? You have unique? Do you have unique? You have unique? But does everybody have unique? You got two. Does that make you better than anyone else? Unique doesn't, you got two uniques. Well, you know what? I think God called us all unique. That means we're pretty special, right? Well, we're dealing with being humble and prideful today. So what does it mean when we're humble? We're all unique, right? Well, you know what I think? There's only one person bigger than us, right? Who's that?
God.
Okay, so God's the only one that gets to be prideful? What does prideful mean? It means you're bigger than you think you're supposed to be, right? God's the only one that's allowed us to be judges. So you know what else I thought of? Where's my bag? Oh, here. Look at this. What do we have in here? Take a box. What is it? What do you think it is? Raisins. Well, I think that's a community. It's a community of a lot of little unique, squiggly, all different, right? So raisins make a community. Okay, well, you know what else? We're going to discover what the word pride means. Right here, this is our little community, right? Pick a word. Pick a word. Pass some words out for me. Here's a word. Pick a word. Everybody gets a word. Here we go. All right. These are the words that I could think of that kind of went with prideful. Here, you get a word. Does everybody get a word? No. What is your word? Judgmental. What do you think happens when we're judgmental? Shoot, where's my little? What happens with judgmental? We got to go help her, because take that knife up there and be real careful. Go poke up one of those happy faces. The word judgmental. Whoa! We popped a happy face. That's the word judgmental. How about, what's your word? Hateful. Go ahead. Go up there. What does hateful do? That's not a nice word. Go see what hateful does. Hateful, yes. How about another word? Pick another word. What is this? Don't be a snob. Snob. Go poke up another one. No, here. Poke over here is a snob. That's not a good word. What's your word? Covet. Do you know what the word covet means? We don't want that. Covet. Covet is another bad word. What's happening to our community? What do we got? Jealous. Who's jealous? That's prideful, jealous. Bad word. Another bad word. Paula, what's your word?
Rude.
Rude's not good. Dad. Greed. Greed. Any more words? What's your word?
Bully.
We hate the word bully. That's a good one. Another word.
Envy.
Envy. That's another bad word. Mean. I hate that word, mean. What about, any more? Another word? Selfish. Selfish. What has happened? Boastful. Gossip. Oh, gossip is a two. Any more? What has happened to our community? You know what? This is what happens in life, I think. We should all work on being community. So you know what? I got the solution. Bubbles. Anybody need it? Yes. Pass them out. Pass them out. Because you know what? Those make us mindful of we are supposed to blow out love and sharing. Do not pop anybody's balloons, right? Bubbles. Bubbles. Okay. Let's say a prayer. Come help me. Lord Jesus, help us so much. We have been so full of ourselves. Help us be always mindful of your word and help us create a good, loving community. Amen.
Well, that was awesome. Thank you all for coming. Good morning to all of you again. Thank you so much for coming to worship with us on this day. Let's go to our joys and concerns. Diane Brown, she's asking for prayers for Chris Sampson. He's going to have a hip replacement surgery on Wednesday. So let's lift this person up. And Jim, please continue to pray for Steve, Jackie's son. He is doing better, and my understanding is that he is home, but he does have long recuperation ahead of him also. Also, Debbie's daughter, Diane, had surgery last Monday, and she has been released. The surgery, the doctor said that everything came out well. She is home, but that also, it's a long journey for healing because it is in her spine. So please continue to have all of them in your prayers along with Ed and along with Judy. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being able to come and lift these people up to you, Lord, knowing that you hear our prayers. We pray, my Heavenly Father, that above all, they can feel your presence, Lord, in their life and in their time of need. We pray for healing, my Heavenly Father, for a good and speedy recuperation, my Heavenly Father. And we pray, my Heavenly Lord, give it you thanks that we are able, Father, to come to you in complete trust, knowing, my Heavenly Father, that your mercy will cover each one of them as they need you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you would all accompany me on prayer for illumination, God our Savior, as we hear your word, send your Holy Spirit to be our teacher of faith and truth and show us who we are called to live through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The word today comes from two different books of the Bible. 1 Samuel 16:7 and Mark 7:20-23. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." He went on, "What comes out of a person's, what defiles them? It's what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lawlessness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside, and it defiles a person." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Uncountable numbers of religious and secular leaders have risen to power on the banner of humility, simulating an image of heartfelt concern for those who have help, who can help them to be placed in the limelight. They glow with an air of counterfeit humility. Basically, they're pretending to be something they're not. Eventually, this hypocritical image always becomes apparent, just as our sins are exposed in due time. Numbers 32 and 23 say, "But if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sins will find you out." The sin of pride is no different. And it doesn't matter what we say or what we project or how humble or how caring we appear to be. Eventually, there's going to be a little reaction in us that is going to say, "This is who I am for real." Of the many things that people have written on humility, as much as one third refers to false humility. I read this quote from a French moralist, and he said, "Humility is often only pretended submission, which people use to render others submissive. It is a deception of pride which lowers itself in order to rise." So that means that there are some people that will pretend to be very caring and very loving and very humble and very good in their doings, but they're actually doing that because they have a higher agenda. They have something else in mind, and it's not truthfully being humble in the sight of God. Our best example of humility is found in Jesus Christ. He is always the high point of humble service. He left us an example of how to conduct our lives, and that example is all over the New Testament. It is there. We can actually go and pick up things from there and start working on honest, honest humility. Someone once said, "Humility is like underwear. Essential, but indecent if exposed." I love that. I love that. And I was thinking, should I say that? And then I said, well, but, you know, yeah, they would expect it from me. I said, you know, yes, let's say that. A humble servant is content with his lesser role, showing no envy of those who played the lead. In every company, in the Methodist Church, there are leaders. If the leaders are really smart, they try to surround themselves with people that are like-minded, that have the same goal, that want to get to the same place, and of course, and above all, that want to please God and follow his example. So we all are in a way always following a leader. Children follow the parents, wives follow the husbands, husbands follow the wives. There is always someone that we will put in front of us to look at. Philippians 2, 7 and 8 says, "Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Humility is necessary for unity. Paul writes in Ephesians 4 and 1 and 3, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are called to be united in the service to God. We are called not only to keep the peace, but to plant seeds of peace. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 connects the humility with love. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. We are to humbly serve others. And when we serve others, we're not to go and say, well, you know, they're in need and I am going to serve. Because while your right hand might be handing out the money, your left hand might be holding the worst suffering you have ever gone through. So we're never supposed to think of ourselves higher than those that we're giving help to. An obvious truth mostly ignored by the world is that if we intend to be successful, developing true humility, we must overcome pride. Proverbs 15:33 reads, "Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor." It will do us good to understand that we could overcome any pride we have by taking the lower seat. Luke 14, 7 and 11 said, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humble, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Expect Jesus to exalt you. Don't expect man to exalt you. Do everything to the glory of God. Do everything as if you were doing it unto God. After all, he's the one that counts. Nobody else counts. People feel about you according to how they feel today. Today they might feel good, they'll like you. Tomorrow they don't feel good, they're not going to like you. But God not only likes you every day, he loves you every single minute of your life. So choose who you want to please. Pride is universal. We all deal with it. We all deal with pride. Philippians 4 and 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Easier said than done. Paul is describing self-centered anxiety and counterproductive worries, unconcerned with the spread of the gospel. Somebody will go. Somebody will tell them, "Oh, I don't need to, you know, reach out. You know, somebody else will do it. Let her do it. She can pray. Oh, let her do it. She knows the Bible, you know, from front to cover." No. Whether we can quote the Bible from memory or we can't, all of us share in the obligation of spreading the word of God. It is important. Pride filters down into the core of worry and anxiety. I really had to think about that. It exposes a lack of trust in God. We get to the point in which we want something so much, and we are expecting for something to be done our way, because if it's not done our way, then it's not going to be right. So much that we live in constant fear of it not happening. Instead of thinking, what about if it does happen? How much is it going to cost me if it does happen? Anxiety is an over concern with ourselves, with our ideas and personal agenda. It is a disposition to exalt self, to get above others, to hide our defects, and to pass for more than we are. All of us at one time or another have fallen into that. And that's not a problem, because Jesus died exactly to forgive you of that. The thing here is that once we realize it, we need to get up and we need to change it. Pride is a high or disproportionate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or as displayed in our conduct. Whether craving compliments, fearing our own image, or entertaining an overly critical view of ourselves, pride can be both painfully obvious and deceptively sneaky. Let me share what pride looks like in the Bible. Proverbs 8:13. To fear the Lord is to hate evil, hate pride and arrogance, even behavior and persevere speech. Sometimes we behave in ways and we say things that we know that are not exactly right. But you know, it is the way God made me, so I'm going to continue doing that. Well, that's having pride in your own self and thinking more of yourself than you ought to. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 warns, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Pride is at the heart of bullying and entitlement. It is a deceptive tendency. It leaves a wake of destruction. The very nature of human conflict is rooted in elements of pride. Proverbs 13 and 10 says, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. What causes pride? Adam and Eve fell for the temptation to believe that they could be like God. And ever since, people have an innate problem relinquishing control of their lives, of their circumstances. Somehow, some of us believe that we are capable of handling our own messes. Our sinful nature manifests itself in three ways: self-reliance, self-centeredness, and self-condemnation. Witnesses to Jesus' miracles led to people believing he was who he said he was. But John 2:24 and 25 says, but Jesus will not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person's heart. Some believe because they saw him at work, because they saw his miracles. Others believe because they were expecting their Savior. Others believe because something was happening in their heart and they felt faith growing as they gave their life to Christ. There are two basic types of pride in the Bible: legitimate and sinful. The first grows from an appreciation of God's character and faithful action in our lives. Many of the Psalms praise God for his protection, provision, answers to prayer, and unfailing love. When all else fails and fades away, he remains. And that's exactly what happens. Everything else that we hold dear will fade away. The one that remains is Christ. Galatians 6:14 says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Paul credited his integrity to Christ, boasting in a clear, Christ-led conscience. We all run into trouble. We all do things that we don't want to. We all say things that offend and hurt other people, and when we have a moment to think about it, we might say, well, I shouldn't have said that. But you already said it. It's already out. You can't take it back. You have to exercise the filter between your brain and your mouth. And the best way to exercise that is by reading Proverbs. It tells you how to handle conflict, how to handle the unlovable, how to handle bullies, how to handle situations that you will encounter yourself. Most of us, it tells you to keep your mouth shut and go to the Lord for counsel. Philippians 2:16 says, as you hold firmly to the word of life, and then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Sometimes we say, well, why? You know, why did this happen? Why is this happening now? But we have to know that nothing is in vain and that God has a higher purpose for everything. Legitimate godly pride has nothing to do with ourselves. Romans 15:17 says, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. Simple pride attempts to be God. Genesis 3:5 says, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. This is the devil's scheme, one of his greatest lies. He wants us to believe that we can possess the ability to rightfully judge good and evil and to judge each other, and it is wrong. Pride hijacks our focus from loving our neighbor to competing and comparing. When we let sinful pride take over, we forget God created us equally, and subsequently, he gives us gifts, and he gives purpose, and he gives us a vision to follow. It is God who guides you. It should not be your pride that dictates the steps that you're going to be taking in your life. We start to credit ourselves with our accomplishments when we think, I did this all by myself. And we do tend to do that sometimes. And again, we're forgiven. But when we do, it's to our betterment to say, you know what, Lord, I was wrong when I said that. I was wrong when I took full credit for what was done. And then you go forward. And then you change that about you, giving God the glory for everything you are, everything you will be, and everything you have. 1 Corinthians 4:7 states, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? We forget. We forget who has given us all we have and who has made us who we are. And that is part of the pride that little by little just comes in and filters into our life. Until we don't recognize it as pride anymore. We just think that it's the way that it's okay to be. We know the disease, but we don't recognize the symptoms. And that's why we need the insight of our great physician to reveal these symptoms and release us from its grip. The symptoms of pride are fear, entitlement, ingratitude, people pleasing, prayerless, hypocrisy, and rebellion. Faith, a gift from God, kills pride. Faith, by nature, looks away from ourselves. We can recognize pride by staying connected to Christ through prayer and study of God's word. The Holy Spirit will alert and convict us and help us to change what needs to be changed in our lives. To take the spirit of pride captive, we must pray. Ask God to reveal and remove pride from our hearts, minds, and life. Read the word in order to hear God. We have to listen. This happens through the reading of his word. Do what it says. Obedience ushers blessings into our lives. gratefulness, and generosity, keep pride away. Look for connections. God faithfully connect his word to our lives daily to prepare and sanctify our hearts. He places people purposely in our lives. And repent and repeat. Repetition can build strong habits and healthy life practices. Faith is a daily discipline. To ward off pride, to set it away of our lives, we must continually confess it because it is a sin. Humility is the antidote to pride. James 1:22 warns, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. If we hear the word of God, but we don't do the word of God, that in itself is pride. We are thinking that it applies to everybody else but me. Why? Because I must be perfect. I must be different. I'm not a sinner. Because I don't steal from a bank, I'm not a sinner. Because I don't murder, I'm not a sinner. But disobedience to the statutes of God is a sin. Not doing what you know you're called to do is a sin. It is something that has to be faced and confessed on a daily basis, if necessary. And we all should strive, including your pastor, to have pride away from us and to bring humility into our being. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, please lead us today. Take control of our lives. No more pushing to the front of the line for us. No more is my way or no way at all. We want you, Lord. We want to follow you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to page 410 and stand together as we sing, I Want a Principle Within.
Now receive this blessing from the Lord. Lead a life of peacefulness, of godliness and dignity, seeking what is good and acceptable and right in the sight of our Savior. May the God of hope sustain you, the Holy Spirit keep you, and Christ the Lord walk with you today and every day. Amen. God bless you all.